Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and today I'm here with...
What's up, everybody? It's Pastor Will.
So good to have you back.
Oh, so great to be back, man.
Christmas.
It's been a little bit, but man, I'm excited to be back.
Christmas is right around the corner.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Can feel it. You
yes.
can taste it.
Yes.
And I just feel a lot of, you know, it's one of the words that we hear a lot, but I really feel a lot of God's peace this year and his joy and how he is our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about gifts and we talk about, you know, being together as family and friends. And all of that is a reflection of the heart of God as our Father, where he is our provider.
Absolutely.
And he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be with him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Are you doing an Advent plan this year, anything like that?
An Advent plan? You mean like a Bible
plan.
Reading plan?
Yeah.
No, I've just kind of been doing my regular thing.
Yeah. Cool.
But the Lord's been reminding me of, you know, his peace.
Yeah, that's cool. Because, you know, sometimes people do that and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, during this time, what are some things that I can just study up on?
Are you doing one?
Yeah.
And, tell us about it.
Well, so... I love the Bible app. I absolutely love the Bible app. And the one that I'm doing is actually, it's pretty funny because I also love rap music and I love Lecrae and Andy and, you know, Reach Records and everything. And they have a Bible plan called The Gift. And so I'm working through that. And it's just talking all about Jesus as the gift and all that comes with it. So, you know, so it's really cool. But within there, you know, Advent as it is during this time and everything, there is the study of peace and how Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to earth in this time. And so, of course, it's like, what are some of the components or characteristics, rather, not components, that we can understand that we can really center this time around to just reframe our minds on. And what I really love about it, too, is that as we're doing that, even, you know, the Lord's been leading you to that, there's this place of peace he wants us to come to. And then we come into this new year from a place of peace. So that's cool, bro. I was actually just talking to somebody that was asking about, you know, Sabbath and like, all right, Sabbath and peace. And the Lord didn't create us for the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath for us so that it would reorient us back to peace. So, yeah, it's great.
Amen. Amen. As you were talking, I was called over to Colossians. I just pulled it up on my computer, but Colossians 1 verses 19 through 21, Paul's writing and he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross."
Ooh.
You know, and that's what we are reminded at Christmas of. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came as a baby. And when you think of peace, you think of the opposite, being at war.
Right.
And our answer to war is, well, I need a conquering hero.
Right.
But God sends a baby
who
is that conquering hero.
Yes.
And then verse 21, it says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." And that's also super important for us to remember that we were the ones who were alienated. We were the enemy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that reconciliation came through a baby.
Yeah. And you know, it's so important that we stop seeing these things as cliche.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people at Christmas time, they get turned off by, oh, that's so cliche. Oh, we're talking about away in a manger. We're talking, and it's like, okay, stop that, because that's how the enemy wants you to see it.
Yep.
He wants you to think this whole thing's cliche.
Yeah.
He even wants you to just be turned off by the marketing of it. Like, you know, it's not to say that that's not happening. It does happen, but don't be distracted by that.
Yes.
Don't play into the enemy's distraction.
Yeah.
Remember why Jesus came.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so good, because when we play into the distraction, then we miss the you know, the point of what our attention needs to be on. But when we are paying attention to where the Lord wants our eyes to be, we're able to grab a deeper, firmer, we're able to grasp more of him. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants for us. And right. So, of course, the enemy is going to try and distract because
that's what he does.
Yeah.
That is what he does.
Yep.
And so now moving into the message, it's a very famous passage, one of the great Old Testament passages in Isaiah, pointing to Jesus and his coming as the Prince of Peace, as the Wonderful Counselor. And this past week, Pastor Zach rested on that phrase that comes before all that, which is the government will rest on his shoulders. Yeah. And I think it's so important. It was never highlighted to me the way that Pastor Zach had done it before, but I see it as so important for us to grasp that order because we can't have, we're not in a position to even receive from the wonderful, incomprehensible Counselor or the Mighty God, the Eternal Father or the Prince of Peace until we surrender to his lordship and to his authority in our life.
Absolutely.
And so, and just to open, I just want to take us through something that was going on inside of me during worship. You know, the Lord showed me, you know, those terms and conditions that you have to sign off. Like if you've ever signed any kind of waiver, it's like a whole big box of things and nobody really reads through it, but you always have this wonder, like, what am I signing over? And the terms and conditions that the Lord has for us is actually quite simple, but it is so complex and it takes us forever to walk this out, but there's only one word. It's everything.
Yes.
You know, Jesus says, I paid for everything. You have to submit everything to me, turn everything over to me.
Yeah. And that's so good because he asks for that because he gave everything. Yeah. He gave everything in order for there to be nothing in the way. And the Lord wants relationship. He wants reconciliation to take place. He wants us to be brought back to God. That is why Jesus came. And so, of course, I love that, you know, that picture because I totally get it with what you're saying, where you can just scroll past that so that you can do what? Get to the end. I just want to get to the end and receive what, you know, whatever I'm signing up for, but that can be believers' focus also. Yeah, I'm saved so that I don't end up in hell. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what about everything that comes with it today? The life that he wants for us here and now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just skipping past all of that in order for the end to just be, you know, achieved. Like, no, that's not it.
Right. And, you know, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly.
Yes.
Other versions will say to the full, like fullness of life, like you, not even 90%. I came so that you would have the 100%
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so good. That's really good, bro. Wow.
So going into this passage again, let's focus on, you know, and the government will be on his shoulders.
Yeah.
That word government. Mm-hmm. is also loaded. We were talking about how at Christmas time, Satan distracts us by getting us to focus on how the world has marketed Christmas and all this thing. And the word government,
yeah.
I think, is another one of those, we'll call it like a trigger word, because it brings up so much in us because we tend to associate that with the world.
Yeah.
But here it's being presented as a spiritual thing. And in Romans, like, you know, Paul talks about, you know, God establishes government. So government and rulership reflects a spiritual principle.
Absolutely.
So now we as humans, fallen humans who are now growing as believers, it's up to us to surrender our idea of government to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how Pastor Zach even put this. And this is something that a little bit of a teaching moment, we have to realize when the Lord does something first, he places an importance on that because it's a picture of heaven. And so within this picture of heaven, during creation, the Lord gave dominion and authority to man. Mm. So he gave us dominion over the earth under his authority, but still gave us authority.
Yeah, now, rulership.
Rulership, exactly. And so then the fall happens. And so man then takes it and gives it to Satan because of that. But now Jesus came to be that second Adam to take back what was given away. Mm. And so, yeah, the government resting on his shoulders is that picture of here is the Messiah coming to now be the one that it all rests on. Mm. And so that authority, we have to understand that it is within God's authority. It is here. It is in Isaiah chapter 9 that he said that here's what's going to happen. But he said this to a people that were currently in a difficult governmental situation.
Right, right.
And so this is a message of hope. This is a message to a people where it's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to come of us and what's going to come of this whole thing that God set up?
Mm-hmm.
Even going back a little bit, it's talking about, you know, things changing, break the yoke of the burden, the rod of their oppressor. Like he is saying things are about to change. Yeah. And here is how I'm going to do it.
Right. And it was what's so cool is they're in a physical reality of oppression. And, you know, the Lord's word speaks both to their physical reality, mm-hmm. But then also the deeper reality of we are in a spiritual captivity apart from Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, that's often how the Lord speaks to us, mm-hmm. Is he will use the physical realities that where we find ourselves to teach us something. And he will speak to where you are at, but there's also something deeper that it causes a deeper transformation that is meant to take you into a fuller understanding of his heart and how he wants you to function. So I think that's important that we, understand that whenever we read the Bible and even in our walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Because there are places in our soul that he wants to, you know, he wants to take us to deeper places where we're able to embrace his truth. But there are things situationally in our lives that affect that and affect our embrace of him. And so exactly what you're saying, he wants to take us into deeper places spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for that to happen, what do we need to do? We need to sign over everything.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And then Pastor Zach highlighted how, you know, the this is kind of a paraphrase here, but it's the Father's idea of government.
Yeah.
It starts with self. Yeah. And that's going back to that rulership.
Yeah.
You know, Adam and Eve were given a choice because in order to govern and you have to have a choice.
Yeah.
And there's a rulership. Yeah, they were supposed to follow from the headship of God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So as we grow as believers, it is a fruit of the Spirit that we develop self-control.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you brought it back to that point where we're supposed to follow from the headship of God.
Mm-hmm.
And from that place, here we are at the point that we make the choice to follow the Lord. We have already made several many choices for our own selves.
Right.
But now, as we follow the Lord and embrace the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit leads, we're supposed to exhibit self-control.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to exhibiting selfishness that something needs to shift. And what shifts is our eyes are on the Lord and our hearts are his, everything is his, but our habits are ours and they need to be reworked. They need to be reworked in a way where now we can let him have his way. Let him just picture the crucifixion as being this division point where now he's inserting a change over here and now things are going to be different after this point. In order for things to be different, we have to do what? We have to carry that cross daily. We have to die daily in order for self-control, in order for, you know, faith to have its perfect work in us. Mm-hmm. So it's not just this, I'm just going to continue doing everything the way that I did before, because those habits, the, you know, those ruts that we're in, it's just going to keep going the way that it went before. But for things to change, just like the Lord was saying here in Isaiah, things are going to change. But in order for them to change, we have to let the Lord be the one that is the head, and we are his body.
Yes.
And so we are his hands and feet.
Yeah.
And following his leading, that takes self-control.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor Zach said, you know, I loved how he was even talking about it from like his own personal struggle with like, oh, why does self-control have to be a fruit of the Spirit? And he said something to the effect of our tendency is to self-sanctify and say, God understands the heart. Ooh. So he's okay. It's kind of like he's okay where I'm at, but he accepts me as I am. He understands me.
Yeah.
And but it's like God's will is not for you to stay in bondage. Like he buys you, he pays for all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then he takes you through this process.
Yeah. Don't we do that where it's just like, yeah, I'm going to just, you know, paint a pretty picture of who God is to cover up my inconsistencies of following him. Like, no, can we stop doing that, please? Can we actually, and this is actually a little peek behind the curtain. We've been talking about staff values. And one of the things in there that we're discussing is just being like boldly honest, brutally honest with ourselves and each other, even though it might be something that's hard to hear. The like brutally honest, I'm not a very like this is me being real here. I'm not a very well-balanced kind of a person. Like moderation does not come easy to me. It really doesn't.
It's all the extremes.
I'm an extremist, bro. Like, I'm gonna you know, do the carnivore diet. Great. I'm doing it to the extreme version of it. Oh, I'm going to start going to the gym. Great. 5 days a week. Here we go.
5 a.m.
Let's go. Yeah. But that's the problem with, you know, a lot of us. It's, instead of trying to understand moderation and balance and all that, it's from one extreme to the other. But at the heart of it, he wants us to understand the truth at the heart of it in order for there to be even like small changes.
Yeah.
Instead of just masking it with, oh, you know, whatever lie we want to tell ourselves to, to try and paint a pretty picture. But that brutal honesty of, okay, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is who he wants me to be. And so I am going to embrace the fruit of the Spirit in order to each day let something be different.
Right.
Let him have his way. Let him lead me. Let him rule me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, going along with that brutal honesty.
Yeah.
I think we sometimes we may understand that, okay, I need to change.
Yeah.
But then we use that that piece of, okay, well, God understands the heart, to maybe let ourselves off the hook from speaking into someone else's life.
Yeah.
Where, because like that is the part of our role as the body of Christ, is that we function together and, you know, we do it in, doing it in love. Mm-hmm. But it's like when we see something in someone else's life that is not in line with what we know the will of God is for them, it is for us to go and speak into their life in a gentle, loving way, but oftentimes in a firm way.
Yeah.
And that is the most loving thing that we can do. But it takes self-control to do that, because the flesh and the enemy is going to be like, oh no, God loves them. And it's like, yes, that is true.
Yeah.
But God's love goes beyond just accepting them as they are.
Right, right. Absolutely. And let's unpack this for just a very, very brief moment, because there was something that was going on while Pastor Zach was preaching, where the Lord was really tying this together with apostolic order, where when you think about, I mean, the term apostle was a term of the day, where people understood these were people that were sent out from a place, an empire, you know, from a place of governmental rule to set up that rulership somewhere else within, you know, the same government, different location. And so as we take that into today, what the Lord is doing is he's sending us out. He's sending us out to set up his authority and kingdom here today, wherever we are, so we can have that apostolic order in our workplace.
Amen.
We can have that apostolic order in our homes, where we are allowing connection to the Lord to happen in order for it to be, hey, the Lord is the ruler of this home. The Lord is the ruler of my workplace, my role here. And as I conduct myself here, that will be within order and authority that God declares.
Amen.
Not outside of it. Amen. Because, we're in the world. Yeah, but we're not of it, you know, to just toss out that little Christian, Christianese statement. We don't have to be of it, even though we're in it. We can be of him because we are his.
Amen. And you know, and Pastor Zach said, the Father's prayer is to govern the way he governs.
Yeah.
And he applied this in a very broad way, the way that you just did, like pointing to the apostolic order and in our workplaces.
Yep.
You know, it's we need to have a broader understanding of our rulership and our dominion as believers, even under the especially under this new covenant with grace, and we have this message of reconciliation.
Yeah.
We're supposed to take that wherever we go, and it should influence how we engage with culture, how we engage with people, how we engage in government, in politics.
Yeah.
You know, with one another. It's all encompassing.
Yes, absolutely.
And because, you know, again, like we just came out of an election, and I think people were very careful this time, like not wanting to. I just got an overall this is my sense.
It could
just be me, but I got a sense that everybody was being very careful. Mm-hmm. And I would say like that is good.
Yeah.
But again, allow your engagement to fall under the headship of Christ.
Yeah.
And if he tells you to speak, you speak.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Instead of, well, I have the freedom to, so I'm just going to.
Right.
And where exactly is that going to lead? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Because it's just flippantly being used instead of being surrendered to the Lord and being used as his tool for his purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's, you know, like we do live in a country where we have a lot of freedom and we have the ability to live out a spiritual principle of self-governance. And there's a lot of blessing that comes with that. But if you do not submit your self-governance to the authority of Christ, you will not be playing into God's kingdom coming to earth.
Right.
You're going to be playing into the disorder that Satan is trying to work in the world by hijacking our self-governance.
Yeah, absolutely. And so last night, Lori and I were driving and we came to an intersection that used to be governed by a light, but is now a rotary. And it was very interesting because people understand the concept of rotaries.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. I drove through it last night, too.
Yes, And it's so interesting because it's like, wow, this used to be different, but now it's this way. And people are able to easily shift and just, you know, drive according to the way that it is now. Instead of just, hey, you're going to try and drive straight. You're
going to end up stuck. I had the exact same thought.
That's awesome, man. That's so great. It was really cool. And it was easy. Why? Because we let ourselves be led by the process instead of, within my freedom, I'm just going to do what I want here. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's not how we're supposed to conduct ourselves.
Right. Right. And that's why, you know, there's something in us that we know that there is something very wrong when I usurp someone else's freedom and their self-governance.
Yep.
Right? Because I'm going against something that was, that is a spiritual gift of God. It's the image of God in that person is part of it is self-governance. Again, it's the way he intends. Mm-hmm. But when I act out, like there's something very wrong there.
Yeah.
And it points to, you know, the need of, even within our self-governance, I need to be governed.
Yep.
And there's a reason why, as the body of Christ, Jesus is the head.
Yeah. Yeah. It all rests on him. It all rests on him. And honestly, that should be very freeing. Mm. That should be very freeing. So if somebody is listening out there and there's a control piece to this where there's either a difficulty or inability to let someone else be in control, it's okay to let it rest on him. He can handle it.
Jesus. Yep.
We can't. Jesus absolutely can handle it. Mm. It's supposed to rest on his shoulders.
Mm. So before we close, what's a final encouragement or way that we could be walking this out practically in our life?
Yeah. So it's great that you, I love how you started this off with, all right, here we are in the Christmas season. In this season, historically, for the most part, people are nicer. People are kinder. They're a bit more, loving or patient or just, you know, in general, kind and considerate toward one another. For one, let this continue on into January and February. Like, it just because other people are acting in a kinder way doesn't mean that when other people stop acting in this way, that shifts. Why let it continue into that? Because that is what the Lord desires for us, to embody his governance, where his kingdom is ruled by love and trust and joy and peace and grace and mercy. We're supposed to embody, we're supposed to be robed in his robes of righteousness. And so as we live that out, it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. And we live it out by looking to him for the lead and following joyfully, saying, this isn't how I used to do it, but I am so blessed to be different now because I'm reflecting him.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent Jesus, that you sent him as a baby, that he might grow. And you say that he knows what it's like to be us, but he's without sin. And so he is the perfect second Adam, and he gave himself for us. Yes, and as he gave everything, Father, teach us to give over everything. Yes, and we sign that over knowing that you're going to walk us through what that means. And that's a process, but you teach us how to govern ourselves. You teach us how to submit to the authority of Jesus so that we can go out and be his hands extended to the world around us, that you teach us how to speak the truth in love. Yes. You teach us how to engage, not just in the church and not just in the body of Christ, but out in the world, because it is your heart that your kingdom would be brought to earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, we pray that you'd show us those places in our life that are getting in the way of us cooperating fully in that. And we pray that this Christmas would be a special time of us just understanding in a fuller way why Jesus came and what that means in its importance and practical application for us today in our homes, our families, our communities. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you on Sunday.
Merry Christmas, family. Can't count on